Hyper hope. Oh, we've probably all heard the come-ons. 4 days and three nights in an oceanfront condo, absolutely free. Jewelry at the most ridiculously low prices you've ever seen. Prescription drugs available at a fraction of the cost. Real estate deals at unbelievable prices. How many of us have been taken in by any of these enticements that we hear and see? How many of us have learned our lesson? You know the old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it most likely is. You see, the older we get, the more suspicious we become of the advertisements and the come-ons that seem to defy logic and common sense. At this time of the year, we are especially aware of advertising hype. The retailers are out to make a sale, and most of us are very skeptical. You see, 8 centuries before the birth of Christ our Lord, the prophet Isaiah describes a time in the future when peace will prevail throughout the world, a day when God's righteousness and justice will be the law of the land. He says they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning tools, writes Isaiah. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will no longer learn how to make war. You see, to a war-weary world, these words sound like the come-on of a fast-talking salesperson or a politician skilled in the use of appealing rhetoric. Yet, for the Judeo-Christian community, these words are not hype of a persuasive speaker, but the hope of the world. They're not the hype of somebody just saying something, but it's the hope of the world that Isaiah is talking about. Each year during the season, as the days are growing shorter, and in our part of the world, the nights are getting longer and darker and colder. It gets dark at 5 o'clock, and that makes for a long night. You see, God breaks through with the story of Jesus. Light in our darkness, joy for our sadness, and hope for our despair. Every year we take 4 weeks to reflect on the meaning of the Christ event, that baby born in Bethlehem's manger to be the Savior of our world. Today is that first Sunday of Advent. We take 4 Sundays to explain it year after year, and still people ask, why this and why that, and I don't understand, but aren't we glad that people ask? I am, because if they didn't ask, sometimes when we think we know it all, we lose the sense of wanting to know. So when you ask, you learn something. Of course, every baby's birth in our world, regardless of the circumstances, remind us of the preciousness of life and the potential of tomorrow. Someone has said that the birth of every baby is God's vote for the future of humanity. Every time that I hold a precious little one in my arms, and every time that I have the privilege and pleasure of baptizing a baby, I think about the promise and the hope that God has for our world. I see it in those children, and I see it in their parents, and then I see it as they grow up, and I see it as they change and as they grow. They are the hope that God has for our world. You see, while the coming of every baby is special in our world and a cause for families to celebrate and prepare, there is showers, they redecorate rooms, they buy baby furniture and all the rest. Oh, it's just a big time. The coming of this baby causes special preparation for a family. There are stern warnings today that we find in the Scriptures and voices of alarm in the Bible for those who are not focusing on the coming of this Christ child. But the promise of this baby is not something that you and I should be fearing or resisting. It's not something to be afraid of. His coming will be wonderful. Young parents sometimes say, oh, we don't know what to do. We've never been parents before. Guess what? Everybody that's a first-time parent says that. You know, what do? You live and learn, don't you? Advent reminds us that God is coming to be with us. We've never had God in our lives before, someone might be saying. I remember a little poem that we used in Sunday school that was entitled, "If Jesus Came to Your House, What Would Happen?" If Jesus came to your house, we would gulp and we would shrink back. Because if Jesus came to our house, He would see us being mean to our sisters and brothers, or not doing our homework or chores like we've been told. But the coming of Jesus is not supposed to be something that you and I fear, but something for us to rejoice about. Jesus promises to usher in a new day of peace and harmony that will be wonderful. Not hype, but hope for our world. You see, we people of the church believe that the God who once entered Bethlehem's manger will come to this world again and establish God's kingdom forever and ever. When will this take place? It happens every time a person accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The time you and I, his or her Lord and Savior, when we make that commitment, when we make that acceptance, it happens every time a person meets our Lord on the road of life. It happens when our lives end, and ultimately it will happen at the end of time. When will that be? People ask that question all the time. When's the end of time? When's that going to be? No one knows. The Bible tells us that it is not ours to predict. There are people that make a living predicting it, but it is not ours to predict, the Bible says. We are called not to predict the future, but to prepare for it. We are called to live as if God is already here with us, because indeed, God is already here with us. We are called not to sit and wait for something to happen in the future, but to live our lives of hope and joy right now, today, not tomorrow, not until we get it all right, not until everything's okay, but to live our lives of hope and joy right now, today, this very day. As Christian believers, we know what time it is. To paraphrase the Apostle Paul, it is time to wake from sleep. It is time to wake from sleep. You know, when Jesus called Lazarus from the grave, what did He say? He said, "Lazarus, come forth." Do you think that He said, "Lazarus, come forth, come on out of there"? What do you think He said? He probably shouted. He probably said, "Lazarus, come forth." So for you and I, what are we supposed to do? It is time for us to do what? Wake from our sleep. Wake up, get up, and get busy. Now is the acceptable time of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. What does it mean to live in hope during Advent? It means giving up our old ways and of doing things. We have lived selfish and self-centered lives for far too long. Now is the time to give up the weapons of mass destruction, the weapons we usually use. And those weapons we find around us, their dishonesty, their pride, their quarreling, and their jealousy. Sometimes it happens right here in this place. Sometimes tempers flare. Sometimes people say things that they shouldn't. Sometimes they wish they could take things back. Their pride takes hold. They're quarreling, they're arguing, they're jealous. It happens in our families. It happens in the world. In their place, we are called to put, though, we are called to put on, like a cloak, our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14 tells us to dress yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, which means to live as He taught us, in love, in joy, and in generosity of the Spirit. To put on Christ, to take up your cross daily and follow Him. When you live by hope rather than hype, your values change and your life takes on a different focus. The old weapons lose their power and they are replaced with a whole new lifestyle. You see, Jesus calls us to live as if the swords had already been beaten into plows and the spears already made into pruning tools. That's what it means to live in hope this Advent season. And you see, The fields are plowed, new life begins. When our lives are pruned, when things are cut back, it hurts, but new life begins. You see, Advent should be the most wonderful season of the year, for it lifts up the promise that God is coming to be with us. Not only did God come to Bethlehem's manger, not only will God come at the end of time and at the end of our time, God also comes to us in the everyday situations of our life. When we are not looking for God, guess what? God shows up. When we're not looking for God, sometimes when we least expect Him, God shows up. The God who came, who is coming again, comes to us every day. This is not holiday hype, but the promise of hope. May each and every one of us wake up, keep alert, and live in hopeful expectation this day and every day. This day and every day. Because it is hope and not hype. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word this day. We thank You, Lord, for just loving us and blessing us. We thank You, Lord, for the promise that You gave to Isaiah, that he prophesies to all the world, that there indeed was a time for us to set aside those things which harm us, those things which draw us apart, those things which hold us, and to move to something new and inviting and different, to prepare ourselves to be able to tell a story that we tell to the nations, a story about the coming of Christ, a story about how our lives can be lived by knowing Him. So, Lord, this day, allow us to truly see that. And during this Advent season, this time of wishing folks Merry Christmas, to say, welcome the Christ child, to welcome, to be glad, to rejoice, to know, Lord, why we are being happy. Not because we're running around trying to find that last item, not because we're trying to get all those sales, not because we name things ridiculous names like Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all kinds of strange stuff. That's our world that tells us that, and we live into it too much. We need to be more about who You have called us to be each and every day of our lives. So, Lord, this day and following, allow us to follow You closely. Allow us to follow You truly. For it is in Your name I pray. Amen. As we prepare ourselves for communion, and our hymn of decision is hymn number 569, we have a story to tell to the nations. Know that our altar is open, and stand and sing and come as you will. We have a story to tell to the nations.